May the grace of God be with us yet this evening. Together with the brothers who have gone before, I also would want to express greetings of joy and God's peace from the believers there in my home congregation of Phoenix. Over the years, there have been times in my life where, at least one time in my life, I would say, where I didn't know who my home congregation was, and it felt difficult. So it's good when we have some place, a home Zion, that we feel we know that they care for us and love us, and they forgive us. This evening I thought to read for a text one verse from the 16th Psalm. And this 16th Psalm is one of the psalms that it's called a miktam. And this term is one that they don't really know what it means. Sometimes they think that it might be something to do with the liturgical service of God's word. Sometimes they might think it's something to do with a musical note. But the six psalms that have this type of a title all seem to speak of the trust and the refuge that we have in God's kingdom and in God himself. So I'll read the 11th verse, or the last verse of this psalm. And this is a psalm of David. And many of these psalms of David are familiar to us, as we even heard earlier, and this 11th verse in Jesus' name says as follows: that thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Not having spent the time that the brothers and sisters from Monaga and Brainerd did as they considered the logo for these services, these same thoughts of this pathway came to mind, a pathway of which the songwriter has written a very familiar song of the pathway of a child of God. And that pathway of which the songwriter has written is a pathway that goes through a wilderness. When we hear in our lives of faith, as we see even in the logo, the path, even though it has a known destination, it doesn't always necessarily seem to be so straight and so easy to know where it is. And perhaps you have spent time, as some of us have, in the woods, and we've followed old paths that have worked their way through the woods, and perhaps for years no one has walked on them and worn out the path so that we would know where it is. And we get to those points and we have to stop and look and see that, where is the path? Perhaps we have to ask those who are with us that, can you show me where the path goes? In this psalm, in this verse, David says that, thou wilt show me. So we can sometimes be very concerned and worried that, well, where is the path that leads to heaven? And David here so confidently says that, God, you will show me the way, the path of life. We don't know how long our life on earth will be, but David is speaking of a path which leads to everlasting life. A pathway that perhaps at times is difficult to see. A pathway that sometimes has obstacles that come from the edges of the path. They stick up and we trip over them, we stumble on them, we make mistakes and we fall into sin. But that pathway that leads to life that God is able to show to us. Sometimes I recall the words of my Uncle Peter, that when we don't always know the way, that it takes lots of discussion to know what the Spirit is teaching, that we would be able to together then travel on the way, the narrow way, which leads to heaven. We've heard already at these services of the narrow way. It's not made so that just everything goes in our life. We know others that perhaps in our everyday lives at school or work, that they proclaim that, yes, I am a believer, I'm a Christian, that I'm a child of God. But yet their fruits are so different from those which God's Word teaches us. They live a life of we could say, as would be in scriptural even, that a life of riotous living, as the prodigal son went when he went into the world. He lived a life that was contrary to the teachings of God's Word. Also at these services, we have had many young people here. And also for those young people, the psalm writer in the beginning of the 119th psalm, he asks a question that is to the young man. And he says that, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It doesn't matter what age we are. Young or old, each of us has this same type of a question. That how do we live our lives? How do we know which way we go? And he says that, take heed thereto according to thy word. Do we always remember to take heed to God's word? And I think that each of us, if we stop, and we don't have to, and it's not always good for us to go back and look at those struggles and sins which we fell into in our time of youth. Just as David then would even ask of God, that don't remember those sins of my youth. We perhaps have those same types of pleas to the Heavenly Father. That don't remember them. I was also, us elders have been young, and it doesn't mean that we became better believers as we aged, became adults, but perhaps we learned to avoid situations that made us fall into sin, that made it easier for us to fall into sin. The songwriter continued then that every moment on this pathway, it leads me closer all the time. Every moment closer home, it leads me nonetheless. How do we get there? How do we do this? Is it because we become wise? We're very grown in ourselves, very righteous in ourselves, that we're able to understand all doctrine, that we become as the Pharisees and we would think that, well, I don't fall into sin anymore. I have done better than that. But even the Pharisees, when Jesus was questioned about the sinful woman and he told them that let the one without sin cast the first stone, from the eldest they began to leave as they had to acknowledge that I have also sinned. But they didn't know how to care for it, or they didn't want to care for it. But what does the songwriter say? The songwriter says that the smallest lamb, those little lambs that need lots of care and protection, that the shepherd will the smallest lamb upon his shoulder bear. So Jesus to the wavering one in his precious flock, so Jesus in his precious flock to the wavering one gives care. Have you, brothers and sisters, had those moments in your life when you have wondered that, am I able to continue believing? I know I have had those times. We have struggled and we have worried. We have wondered that, will I make it to heaven? We've heard others speak of this, that they look around them, and even this evening I look around and I see you dear brothers and sisters who will make it to heaven. And we ask yet in ourselves that, will I make it to heaven? With the care of the gospel, we can make it. The songwriter continues that there will be a holy angel by my side as a guide, and he leads me to the open fount when sin defiles me. I think that, I would say, not even think, but I know that even you little boys and girls that are here have known when you fell into sin. Sometimes when we become older, perhaps we try to hide the fact that we sinned. We don't want to acknowledge it. We don't want to find fault in ourselves. We're no better than everybody else in that way. We try to be good, and we fail. And we try to hide it sometimes. But when sin does defile me, if we listen to that angel there at our side, he doesn't take us to corrupt ourselves even further. Rather, he takes us to the open fount where we are able to hear once again that the sins that you have fallen into are all forgiven. And even this evening, if there is one here who finds that they have fallen and needs to hear the gospel, that even now you can uplift your heart and believe, all sins and journey faults forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And what does this gospel then do? The songwriter says that the blood of Jesus gives me peace. Peace of conscience. We're able to know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. And then we are able to walk on this pathway with new strength, uplifted and refreshed, even as we were this afternoon in the communion service, being able to be refreshed and strengthened in our lives of faith. Yesterday we had presentation on music, and this last verse of this song tells us that in the warm rays of the Sun of Grace, the joyful birds now sing. This journey then will end one day when dawns eternal spring. It is a joy for us when God is able to show us the way. Times when the weather clears up, there isn't clouds and fog that are making it difficult for us to see the way. And God gives times of clarity. He makes it possible for us to see. And what do we see? We are able to then see the enemy approaching. We are then able to see and discern even when different spirits would come into our midst. And these are things that we don't always understand. We don't understand, first of all, although we know why, but it's hard yet to understand why these different spirits would come into our midst, why different doctrines would be taught by some attempting to lead us astray. But when God gives clarity, even as we heard earlier today, that there are times when God needs to prune the vine tree, prune the dead branches away so that the living branches could bear more fruit. The writer to the Proverbs also writes of this pathway. He speaks in the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs, and we'll read three verses from there, where it speaks of, again, of two different paths. One of them is the path, the broad way, the way which leads to condemnation, where there is no life, but only eternal death. In the fourth chapter, the writer has written in this way, that enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Isn't it good instruction for us when we see the dangers that might be there, that would be forcing us to consider even falling into sin? It's good for us to be able to avoid that. And then this 18th verse says that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So it is this way, that the pathway of a child of God, of the just ones, is a light that shines in the midst of this world. And we don't, even though we don't always recognize it in ourselves, those around us have noticed something, and we don't know why or what it is that we did. I remember one fellow co-worker who at one point told some of us who were believing, he said in this way that he saw in us that we lived the way we preached. That there was a difference to him between us and even others who called themselves Christians. that we desire to live as we preach. We believe that way, and we desire to also live that way. And then there is also in this path of life, in the way of righteousness, there are other things that come along with it. And from the 12th chapter of Proverbs, we can hear how in the way of righteousness there is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. So when we are able to travel on this pathway, there is no death. Of course, we know, as we have even experienced in these last days, that there is temporal death. But there is life everlasting for those who believe. And that's the way which we desire to travel on. It's one of the joys that we can consider in our lives, that we don't have to fear death, this temporal death. What we would fear is a death of our life of faith. That if we wouldn't be believing when we pass away from this life, then we also would face that eternal death. This pathway of life, or pathway of righteousness, is also a pathway of which the prophet Isaiah writes in the 26th chapter. And we don't sometimes think of it this way, but for those who have had to deal with many different situations in society, I think you understand even of this, how Isaiah writes that the way of the right, or the way of the just, or the righteous, as the NIV would put it, that the way of the just is upright, and thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. The NIV speaks of it in a term that's perhaps easier for us to understand, that the pathway of the righteous is a level path. If we're able to remain believing and obedient to God's word, the pathway isn't filled with so many bumps, even in our temporal lives. In our society, we see and hear of many, many sad situations. And we have to acknowledge that there have also been sad times when they have come into the lives of the believers. These are matters which we desire to battle against, that we would then be able to travel, as the NIV says, a pathway which would be smooth. So those are some of the things that this pathway gives to us, this pathway of life. And it's a joyous time then. And even this weekend, we have been able to experience a time of great joy. And then he speaks of this, of being at the right hand of God, that there are pleasures for evermore. Jesus speaks of these right and left hands, and we could read from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 32 through 40. And maybe we don't even need to read them all, but we can read a few of them. That before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he speaks to them, these believers, and he says that I was hungered and you gave me meat, and I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And these are things that Jesus was speaking to his own. And what did they say? That the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when did we see thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, that inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. It's important even that, even as we've heard from our brothers already earlier in these services, of the love that we would have for one another, that we would care for each other. Sometimes even in temporal things, we have had to care for one another, help one another, so that there wouldn't be such great struggles, that there would be difficulty even to believe. So we are free to even do these things, to help each other travel along the way to heaven. And won't it be a joy to hear that, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom which has been prepared for you. It's something that we are able to look forward to, something that we desire one day to reach the glory of heaven. These matters of eternity, we don't often even understand that. We don't understand eternity even in this way, that when did the beginning, when was the beginning? Isn't eternity in both directions? That scriptures even teach us of the Lord Jesus, who has been the same yesterday, today, and forever. When was the first yesterday? That I don't know. Job considered, or was asked of some of these questions during the time of his struggles, when he had lost his children and cattle and so on, and these questions that they brought to Job, that to try to reveal to him of God himself. I know I have, in my short lifetime, pondered this perhaps too much. That when was the beginning and when will the end be, when we consider eternity? The question that was put to Job in the 36th chapter, from the 26th verse, that behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. We aren't capable of understanding time as God himself knows it. And we don't have to. Scriptures teach us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. and we can believe this. Scriptures also teach us that in the beginning, God, with his word, created the heavens and earth and all things on it. And we can believe this. We don't have to burden ourselves with trying to know the days, the months, the years, the eras that have been before us or that will come after us. What is important is that today we are able to believe. Today we are able to travel as God's children. And then the last book of the Bible also speaks to us of eternity. And we'll read from the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelations, a book that so oftentimes and in some places seems to be closed even yet to us. There are places which also have seemed to open to us. But in the 22nd chapter, in the 14th verse, John was able to write of how blessed are they that do his commandments. We heard of this, of doing the commandments. What does it really mean to us? And we heard of many different commandments that were given in different ways, of different situations. And it's good for us to consider those, and especially perhaps that we would first love God and then love our neighbor. But this, he says, in that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Isn't it so that we want to be part of the living tree, the living vine, where Jesus himself is able to feed us from the trunk of the tree to the branches, to us as branches, that he would be able to nourish us and keep us alive as living branches. He keeps us alive with the Word of God. He keeps us alive with the gospel message of forgiveness. The songwriter wrote of the one who was wavering. Dear brothers and sisters, when you feel yourself to be wavering, you can turn and ask for help. Receive help. Receive nourishment from the vine tree, which then comes through God's children, that we are able to ask for and receive and believe that all of our sins are forgiven. And yet again this evening, brothers and sisters, uplift your hearts and believe, all sins, doubts of the journey forgiven, in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. You can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. This is what carries us to heaven. Paul writes to the Romans of how this gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. I also came here carrying my own sinful flesh and my own doubts and worries and fears, and have been encouraged even before coming up here by the brother there in the sacristy who encouraged me to believe that my sins were forgiven, that I could come here freely with a conscience that had been washed by the blood of Jesus. But yet again, I would ask you, dear brothers and sisters, that can I yet once again hear that my sins are forgiven? I desire to travel together with you on that pathway of life that leads to a place of great joy, a place where we no longer have struggles, no longer have worries or fears. In Jesus' name and ever blessed name, amen.